5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Now you know that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars of this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I am PK.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
And baby said...
Really, PK? That's the song you choose?
I'm juggling my balls over here. I'm sorry.
You remind me of the Babe.
I was hoping you'd go for modern love or China Girl.
Modern love.
Modern.
I figure, you know, we encompass a large range of people. I think Labyrinth is the most relatable for the geek clan. No,
I would think so.
We'll go with a standard later. How's that sound?
All right, that sounds good to me. This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
True.
We are all here.
Whoa!
At the start of the show,
it's amazing.
So that's something. We got
I'm
that going.
I'm so
for us.
Happy about that.
There were no major accidents, firestorms, snowstorms, tornadoes.
Nothing.
Everything was peachy keen getting here tonight. So that's
so
nice.
Happy.
Lovely. This is of course 398. We are getting closer and closer to episode 400 by the day. Of course, the episode of the show, or the title to the episode of the show, has nothing to do with episode 400. So, why don't you give us the episode? Because you know I'm going to fumble it.
Yeah. So I think we're going to call this one The Powerball Awakens.
Yes, because it is real close.
I know, right? The Powerball is like 1.5,
yep.
And Star Wars is
1.7, almost 1.8.
Is that what it is?
I think it is.
Yeah. They're saying it's not going to pass. They don't think it's going to pass Avatar because that had a shitty opening in China.
But you know what, though? It's interesting because those Avatar numbers include multiple releases. If you remember, Avatar got a re-release after a couple of months. So I wonder if Disney was smart, they would pull it for a couple of months.
Uh-huh.
Let people
re-release
salivate
it right
a
before
bit.
Episode 8.
No, not before episode 8, but either before Rogue One, maybe Rogue Squadron, or just pick a time randomly.
Rogue One. Sir.
Sorry. Pick a time like, you know, randomly in the fall or something that doesn't compete with anything else that they have going on and just dump it.
Rogue One trailer, by the way, will be in front of Civil War.
Oh, good.
That was confirmed in Star Wars News.
Sweet.
Well, in Star Wars, also in Star Wars news this week. Wait, did you have that in your list?
What
that was going to be in front of Civil War?
No, I didn't. But I was going to go into the Civil War thing.
Oh wait, hold on. I have more Star Wars bits.
Oh, okay.
Billy Dee Williams will appear in Episode 8
as young Han Solo,
as Lando Calrissian.
Oh,
if there is anybody that can pull it off. It's a smooth motherfucker like Billy Dee Williams.
That's it.
Well, so he is absolutely confirmed now to be at least a cameo. They say it's going to be a cameo, but I can't imagine it just being, oh, is that Lando walking by? Like, that just doesn't make sense.
Considering his...
He will be carrying an ice cream maker through one of the scenes.
Considering his appearance, his cameo in Rebels,
mm-hmm.
has been
not a
great.
Cameo.
I know it's been yeah. in multiple two episodes, I think, and yeah. one episode it was full on.
Mm-hmm.
Has been great. I'm actually excited yeah. to see him come.
And so, should we just roll through all the Star Wars stuff?
We
speaking
might as
of,
well.
Speaking of Rebels,
couldn't hurt
Princess Leia.
Yes, but
I'm a little concerned.
Not voiced by Carrie Fisher.
Well, we know that because yeah. she's the character would be too young to be voiced by Carrie Fisher, I imagine, at this point.
You think so?
So here's the thing. So now we're starting to see timelines all over the place.
Uh-huh.
So now Rebels takes place roughly 3 years before Star Wars.
Okay.
Okay. So this is going to bring us into a discussion about Rogue One and other
yep.
people in a minute. But I just thought it's interesting that now they're starting to talk about timelines for everything, because I think they're trying to move characters from place to place, like the one we're going to discuss in a minute. They need to establish these timelines because they don't want to have that episode 3, episode 4 Obi-Wan situation bite them in the ass again. So it's only roughly 3 years before Star Wars, whatever her appearance or the events of Rebels. I don't know if it's the events of Rebels, however long it goes, ends, or if it takes play, if it starts three. I'm not right. sure how that goes. So fittingly, they're now talking about Rogue One literally takes place right before episode 4 and literally will end.
That makes sense, though.
With turning over the
plans to Mon Mothma.
No, or to Princess Leia.
Or to Leia, yeah.
yeah because
oh, that's
she's
right,
the
yeah.
one carting them back there.
Nope, you're right, you're right.
So I'm interested to see how all that's going to work. Now, that brings us to perhaps the biggest news, I think, Star Wars-wise of the week.
Well, we should just quickly say that Rebels yes. is coming back next week.
Yes, next
so
week.
So it's the 20th, I think, yeah. is when that episode with Princess Leia
yes.
airs.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes back, yeah.
Right. And so the biggest news of the week is Variety issued an article, exclusive article, naming the current top, I don't know how many there were, 7, 8 choices of young actors who are in the running, who are being looked at for the role of young Han Solo.
So according to Variety, they've uh-huh. narrowed it down to about a dozen actors,
right.
but the article only names about 5.
So here's the problem.
Okay.
Okay. If Rogue One takes place roughly, let's say, right before episode 4,
uh-huh.
there's a problem.
Why?
Because half of these I'm getting ahead of myself. The other rumor attached attached with this release is that young Han Solo will appear in Rogue One.
But I think that rumor is coming from Schmattino Does Blue.
Oh, is it really?
I believe so.
Because
yeah.
Not
Heroic Hollywood.
No, because
I think it's coming from Latino Review.
I did hear
they would have had to have cast him by now already.
Aren't
they done?
No.
As far as shooting?
They're filming.
They're filming now. Down. Yeah. And episode 8 started already.
Yeah.
Filming. Yeah.
yeah.
It was actually last week it started. So here's the issue. The issue is, for argument's sake and discussion's sake, let's say that that's true, that they do want right. young Han Solo to have some sort of cameo in Rogue One. Half of the actors on that sheet, more than half of the actors on that sheet, are way too young to cross that 3-year gap.
I hope that he doesn't have a cameo in Rogue One,
uh-huh.
because to me, it doesn't make sense for him to have a cameo in Rogue One. His introduction in New Hope
yep.
is perfectly fitting
yep.
where it
yep.
is.
And I agree. And I hope it doesn't happen. Now, that opens up the door for we don't know where in the world timeline this movie's going to take place.
But
that kind of opens back the door up for some of these kids to get in the running. I like 2 of them.
Okay.
If they skew older, Scott Eastman.
Eastwood.
Okay. Eastwood. It's Clint Eastwood's son, Scott
yep.
Eastwood. He has the look. He has the swagger. And I really think that he could pull off.
That he have the moves like Jagger?
God. Where do we know him from?
Other than being Clint Eastwood's son, I honestly don't know.
No, he's been in stuff.
I know
he's going to be in Suicide Squad. I can't remember what else.
Oh.
He's done some stuff. If you look it up, PK, you'll see.
Right.
And you can let us know. The other kid that I like,
Uh-huh.
Almost surprisingly, I think, a little bit, is Logan Lerman.
Now, Logan Lerman was...
Oh, that kid. Okay.
Logan Lerman was up for...
Wait, do you have some things that...
Yeah, he was in Gran Torino.
Gran Torino, okay.
He was also in Fury, apparently.
Yes, that was it, Fury. Yeah.
Wasn't Logan Lerman one of the names that was being tossed around for Spidey at one point in time?
Yes.
Okay.
But I think... He skewed too old for what Spidey. They were looking for Spidey. Okay. So here's the thing with Logan Lerman. Again, skew older Scott Eastwood.
Yeah.
Skew younger Logan Lerman. And here's why. He's another one that has kind of that smart ass kind of. I feel like he could pull off the smart ass part. And for those of you who don't know who
his
Logan.
His headshots almost got the smirk already. Logan Lerman.
Yeah. Logan Lerman, for those of you who don't know. Percy Jackson in all of the Percy Jackson films. Also was in Perks of Being a Wallflower. If you have a significant other, you've clearly seen that movie. So, those are a couple of the things that he's been in. But I think he'll have that smart ass and that swagger. I think if they skew younger, like the him and Chewie meeting up life debt thing, if that's the direction they're going, I think he'd be a good choice.
Okay.
They skew a little bit older, a little closer to Episode 4, Rebels, that era. They have to go with somebody older. There's no way that kid pulls that off. But Scott Eastwood would easily pull that off. He even looks like him. I think he looks like a young Harrison Ford a little bit.
Now, to go to other names, that article that you shared with us today had two names that were more prominently placed above all else, and it led me to believe that these were the front runners, and that was being Miles Teller and David Franco.
Yeah.
Now, are these two guys in a top running position, or they're just kind of the biggest names that are being floated?
No. And whoever the femme was in the middle picture, I don't know who that kid is. There were three of them.
Jack
that
Rayner.
Yeah. Okay.
No, Dave Franco's too short. He looks nothing like Harrison Ford. Too short. Looks nothing like Harrison Ford. I can't see Dave Franco.
I would see Franco over Teller. Only based on Now You See Me alone.
Listen, I would see Michael B. Jordan over Teller. Okay? So, like, it's not an issue of if somebody is... I think we have to look at each of them individually. I'm not saying we're going to spend the next hour analyzing this story. And I don't care... That movie, Whiplash, was critically acclaimed last year, and it was amazing, and it was a groundbreaking performance. That's awesome. But every other thing that he's done, he has sucked in.
And
Divergent, he sucked in it.
He is an enormous,
Fantastic Four.
Enormous douche canoe.
Yeah.
Like, in life.
Yeah.
I want to see somebody with an actual personality.
Yeah.
Land this behemoth of a role.
Dave Franco just doesn't cut it for me. And I've heard rumors that Dave Franco said there's no way on earth he would ever take that role. And he's wise to do that.
Oh, the pressure alone.
Because
he'd be mad.
Burned if he screws it up. Mm. And, you know, it's a possibility, I have to say.
Well, according to the article and other spots that I've read, we're going to have an announcement in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, that's
so
true.
So it's at this point, I think we've done our job. And talking about it, but it becomes moot until the announcement happens.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you're going to see more new names pop up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, a couple will fall off before you hear the announcement, and then you'll get the final announcement. Normally, it gets down to about two, and then you get the announcement.
Right.
So we're close. We're close, I would say. All right. Do you have anything else Star Wars?
Star Wars-wise, I can't think.
I don't think I do.
I don't think there's anything else.
Do we have any voicemails while we're on the Star Wars topic that we want to hit?
Yeah, we have one we could do.
Do you want to just drop that one in there?
Yeah, we have
one. Okay. Who we
have
got?
One because he's new, right? He hasn't called in before. I mean, he's a longtime listener, but he hasn't called in before.
All right, let's have it.
Hey, boys. So, Rich, VULaw73 on Twitter. I'm sorry, I have a little bit of cold, but we can understand it. I'm listening to your guys' coverage of Force Awakens, and a couple points. I understand. I do kind of fall in the camp that it's a bit of a remake. Girl, a child left on desert planet has to get droid back to Leia. That's crucial to the rebellion resistance. Meanwhile, there's a giant super weapon that can destroy planets that has to be destroyed through a thing, manufacturing defect, something, and blows up. At the end. I understand homage and all that, but it was a little too close for what I thought. Anyway, moving on. The idea of Kenobi as Luke's kid's mother, Kenobi's daughter, obviously, why would Ben then not say something to Luke? Why would Ben say Luke was the last hope unless he thought his daughter was dead, possibly? If there was another Force sensitive running around, why couldn't she have been the one to bring back, you know, that filled a Luke role for Obi-Wan? He must have thought she was dead for some reason. Otherwise, because we know there is another, being Leia, not, oh, by the way, Yoda, you know, to Ben, by the way, Ben, where's your daughter? Maybe she could be the one. And one last point. A friend and I were talking. Don't you think that Ben Solo's name should have been Bail or something, with somebody with a connection to actual Han and Leia? I don't think Leia never knew Obi-Wan. Han knew this crazy old guy for 10 minutes. I don't think that they were... granted, yes, he was huge to Luke, but why wouldn't they have picked someone who was huge to their own family? Like Bail Organa, who raised Leia. You would think that they wouldn't name their son after this crazy old guy who did something for her brother at some point. Yes, yeah. I just thought the naming choice was weird, and it was a weird throwback or...
You just cut him off. Cut him off. He's flagged. Has he watched New Hope?
I guess not.
I have thoughts on all of these things.
Hey, Rich.
We love you for calling in.
Yeah,
thank you.
We do. Hey, Rich. Maybe they just like the name Ben.
Well, no, maybe Leia picked Ben to save...
Listen, Ben...
he was important to Leia, even though she didn't know him directly.
Ben, Obi-Wan Kenobi, is probably one of the most important facets of their life because he whisked them both away and protected them from the madman that became their father.
Yeah.
He whisked them away to protect them. That's key number one. And then as things went along, he was instrumental in getting Luke to get in touch with his Force sensitivity and his heritage and whatnot, and transcend and go after it and redeem their father. Ben is a huge facet to their life, so I don't see the problem at all.
I'm gonna say
in
that
connection.
I really hope Rich was just high on cough syrup, and I'm gonna give him
I'm gonna give him
a do over if he wants to rethink some of those points.
But the remake angle frustrates me because really I've taken it as nothing but a statement on the repetition of history.
Yes.
And I think we're going to see more of that as we get deeper into episode 8,
and
episode 9,
not?
And so on.
And why not? It's called thematic storytelling.
Yep.
But how about just go online and Google J.J. Abrams' response to the remake, to the remake allegations or concerns or criticisms? You'll see exactly what J.J. said, and he's right.
How about just take history, like actual living history? You make bomb. Bomb doesn't work. You go back to factory and you make
bigger bomb. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's essentially what it is, right? They built something. It didn't work. And I also don't consider how they destroyed the Starkiller to be so much as a defect or in the way that the vent was. This was, they actually got in and set bombs around.
Well, the rebellion, they failed.
Yeah.
The resistance failed in that mission, and by sheer will of the folks on the ground, which was Han and Chewie,
right?
By their sheer tenacity and will to fight, they managed to dig in there and get the bombs placed. But if they didn't get anywhere near the place, as was really thought to end
right.
up happening, but because they're so badass, they pulled it off. If they didn't pull it off, it's a completely different ending,
right? And that's not a defect in the Starkiller base. That's how it happened.
Yeah,
like, hey, man. I hope it's the cough syrup. did we have another Star Wars one?
Wasn't there our Revenger friend here, right?
Yeah,
was
Lamar.
The other one?
Ooh, right. This is a lot of voicemails.
That's okay.
Let's have it.
Hi, guys. This is Lamar the Revenger on Instagram and Twitter. I just was calling in. Great show this last week. Wanted you to hear my theories. Rey's parentage. There's two people you kind of forgot about that could be, but it's kind of a long shot because it alienate people who have never seen the show Rebels. Kanan or Ezra, those two might be your parent, might be your daddy or something like that. I don't know.
No.
let's see. What else?
Let him finish.
Is probably one of Palpatine's first Inquisitors.
I don't hate that one.
Not the normal Inquisitor like we saw in the show, but might be the big one. And there was something else. No, I can't think of anything else. Keep up the great work. Love the show. OG, I hope you enjoy putting those two droids together if you get the kit. Okay, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Ezra and Kanan, I don't think, are in the running.
No.
But I don't hate the Inquisitor idea.
I don't hate it. I just don't think it's the case.
I've seen some people talk about that before with some of the markings on Snoke's face, and they mimic that red triangle that the Inquisitor has on Rebels. I don't hate that idea, and it would tie in Rebels nicely. I'm kind of okay with that one. But I don't think Kanan and Ezra have anything to do with it.
I also reiterate my hope that Snoke is 2 feet tall.
Yes. And regarding that kit, there was a delay China, but I think I'll have it before next week's show. Have you seen the Bandai Star Wars model kits?
Oh, yeah.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
So there are two droid-related kits. One is R2 and R5, and one is R2 and BB-8.
Where you order these from?
I ordered them from Amazon, but there was just a delay in the R2. I ordered BB-8 and R2. There's a delay in that one coming out.
Are they still
available? Yeah, you can still get them.
Oh, I should get those.
Yeah. And they're like $35.
Oh, you say model kits. Are these of the pre-painted, just snapped together variety, or you got to do some painting and stuff?
They are pre-painted, but they're not simple, just snapped together. They're really detailed.
And it's how Bandai is getting around selling 6-inch action figures.
Yeah, because they're 6-inch scale. But they're fantastic.
It's like that that amazing Bandai Batman figure that I picked up from our friend over at Geek Flea last week. And it's on the box. You know, it's a model kit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. It's a fucking action figure.
Last week.
Last month.
Did I say last week?
You said last week.
Oh, I meant last. Yeah. But we Geek Flea way back when.
You meant the Geek Flea without me? And wait, and why were we not out there?
You meant the last one.
Yeah, the last event.
All right. I think with that, we do have another voicemail or two we could play in segment two, but we have some more new stuff. So
as long as it's not Sea Monkey.
Let's go. No, I want to actually address his just very quickly. But we'll get to it in segment two.
Is there other news?
There is a lot of other news. Let's talk about Deadpool got its official rating today.
NC-17.
R. Of course it's going to be R. Did anybody think it wasn't going to be R?
Despite the production saying that's what they were going for, they were aiming for an R-rated film.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody still had some sort of concern, anytime I saw somebody say, it better not be PG-13. Dude. It's not going to be.
Yeah, in what universe did you say?
There is no remote possibility. The trailer... Every trailer has been rated R.
Yeah, exactly.
This was not a news scoop. This was not a surprise. Of course it's rated R. Come on.
HBO confirmed that there's a Deadwood movie in development.
I am very happy about this.
So I don't know when or how, but it has been confirmed that it's in development and it's going to happen. I don't even know that I've seen a full list of return cast members, but everybody wants in. I knew both of you would be excited.
If everybody is free, everybody wants in.
Who in it isn't free? Nobody.
Who isn't Timothy Oliphant tied to something right now?
No, that show ended.
After Justified.
No.
Isn't he tied to something else now?
I don't think so. Not that I've heard of.
Up a little bit.
Swearingen.
Swearingen's ready to go. I know there's several actors on there, but I mean, they're theoretically periphery characters, but I know there's several that I'm seeing regularly and stuff now, but if we're talking one-off movie here or another, like a seasons or a miniseries
event? They're talking about a movie.
Okay.
So
everybody can come back for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Three more things before we take our first break. Very quickly in the Flarrowverse. Flash Arrow Legends of Tomorrow.
Did you just make that
up, or are people actually calling it
the Flarrowverse?
That is the online, that's like the hashtag and whatnot. But anyway, Flash Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow.
Hashtag stupid hashtag.
Well, now it's the Legend Arrowverse, isn't it?
It is. Kevin Smith is going to be directing an episode of The Flash.
God damn it.
And Jonah Hex is going to be making a cameo appearance in at least one episode, maybe more, of Legends of Tomorrow. And if they don't cast Thomas Jane, fuck them all.
Does he want in?
Do you remember he wanted in for the movie?
For the movie.
And then years later, he did that interview where he said he dodged the bullet. But he did that makeup test.
Yeah.
That looked fantastic.
They're not gonna
it was Brolin in the movie, right?
It was Brolin.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Which Jonah Hex?
I don't know.
Old West Jonah Hex? Future Jonah Hex?
I'm hoping it's Old West Jonah Hex. Yeah. But with Legends of Tomorrow, it's a time travel show, so it's easy to go.
Maybe that's how they get him from the Old West to Future. That would be hysterical.
It's a new Jonah Hex that they're going to call Arrowflex.
Don't make fun of the – look, just because people make up stupid names on the internet, don't make fun of the shows. The shows have all been top-notch.
No, I'm making fun of the name alone. Yeah. The shows are great.
Yeah, OG.
All three of those shows come back. Or the two shows come back next week and Legends premieres next week.
It's actually worse than Bennifer.
It is terrible. Is it worse than Batfleck? We'll get to that.
Fans are more creative than that.
Very quickly.
Arrowverse.
Daredevil Season 2 is going to premiere the same weekend that Batman vs. Superman Dawn of
Justice. Yeah, man. Totally going to compete with Batman vs. Superman, man. Fucking Marvel laying the gauntlet down, man.
Never mind.
Okay. So?
A lot of people are making a bigger deal of it. Look, personally, between the two, I want to watch Daredevil.
Here's my plan. I'm going to go to the movie theater, and I'm going to see Batman Superman. And then I'm going to come home, and I'm going to watch fucking Daredevil.
There you go. Yeah,
There's nothing competitive here. No, nothing.
It's an interesting – I think it's kind of a fuck you move on Marvel's part, but I don't think it's actual competition.
Is it a fuck you move?
A fuck you move. A fuck you move is canceling the FF book.
No,
that's a fuck you move.
Yeah. I think it's a fuck you move because they moved it up and they just so happened to pick the same weekend that Batman versus because it's the only thing they have going on.
Slowly eliminating the mutants from the Marvel universe. That's a fuck you move.
I'm not saying I disagree with it. I don't think it's as big a deal as people are making out to be. That's all. And very quickly, Amber Heard has been cast to play Mira in the upcoming Aquaman movie starring Jason Momoa as Aquaman.
Amber Heard. Why should I know that?
The Danish girl. She was in Magic Mike. She's been in a couple things. You'd know her if you saw her in a heartbeat.
Wait.
She was in The Danish Girl. She's not The Danish Girl.
No. The Danish girl was, what's his name?
Yeah.
Was Eddie Redmayne.
And Kermit.
Right?
Les Mis Kermit.
The problem is, do we care about the Aquaman movie?
There's an Aquaman movie? That's how much we care about it.
I dig Jason Momoa, man, but I give
as Aquaman,
absolutely
the
not
demon
a
barber
point.
Of Fleet Street. Yeah. Come on.
You know how I feel about that.
I know.
But so yeah, there you go. Do you know who she is? Did you look her up?
Amber? I'm looking her up right now.
She could look the part of Mira. I have a problem with that.
I just want to, like, there's got to be, like, one thing where I'm like, oh, her. And there just isn't.
All right, well.
She was in All the Boys Love Mandy. Right.
Why don't we take our
Who
first
the hell
break?
Is, she was in Zombieland.
Rum Diary.
Who the fuck is she in Zombieland?
She was that girl.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go. So.
Well, but
was she the other girl?
I think she was the other girl in Zombieland.
The other girl that's not Emma Stone?
Emma Stone.
She was in Machete Kills?
No, wait.
Pineapple Express?
Sorry, that was Abigail Breslin was the other
girl. Oh.
406. So she was – that was the neighbor. Wasn't she the neighbor?
She was an Alpha Dog? Who was she in Alpha Dog?
Not Olivia Wilde's
– Naked Body.
Naked Body.
Oh, my God.
Let's take our first break. We have how many more voicemails
three
when we come
babies.
Back? Two. And we have this Infinity War thing to talk about.
I don't know this person.
So we're going to take our first break. This is episode 398 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and we're calling it The Powerball Awakens.
Build the Millennium Falcon. A one-to-one replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. Working lights and stunning interior detail. Complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step by step with your comprehensive build guides, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
And we are back.
Yep.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 398, and we're calling this one The Powerball Awakens.
Nice. You were nervous there.
I was, but
you heard
but
the
I
nervous pause in there, listeners?
Well, it's been almost 10 years of me fucking it up. So, you know, when I get one, I'm excited, but I'm always hesitant because you never quite know.
You're just kind of getting excited about this tenure thing, too, right?
Well, it's quite an achievement.
It is. I mean, in 2 weeks, 400 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. and then in March, 10-year anniversary. I have to tell you, I'm getting excited about this too. OG, we need to start planning some sort of thing.
We gotta do something.
Our 10 years.
Yeah, maybe a live show somewhere or something. We'll figure it out.
Some kind of. Oh, I loved our 150, 200.
Yeah.
What was it? 250?
No, I think that was one. Well, no,
that was
100. 100 was the giant ass pizza when we were still working with Mr. Fantastic in the studios in Hoboken.
Wow, that was 100.
200, yeah. I think was the.
That was the live show in the museum.
The live show in the museum.
Yeah,
I like that.
300. And then we're on 400.
Yes, we don't speak 300.
So
it's fine.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, in collaboration with our 400th episode in 10 year, I think we got to do that. We got to do, like, the museum thing again type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something. We'll figure it out. Right. We don't have a lot of time to do it, but we'll certainly figure it out.
But yeah, we definitely. No, we have till March. That's plenty of time.
All right. We'll see. We have to have the funds to do it too. You remember that?
Oh,
it costs money, and we have other things that maybe the funds are going towards. Just saying. But anyway, let's move forward with the show.
Damn it, you're right.
We have that awesome sponsor, of course, during the break. We always thank the people over at BuildMillenniumFalcon.com.
Yes, BuildMillenniumFalcon.com. Something that we consider one of the finest Star Wars collectibles ever created. You know, it's just like one of those giant model ships that you see from the upper end companies. It's got lights. It's fully detailed inside and out. It's amazing. It's awesome. And it's one of those things you're like, you know what? If I had won the Powerball and got $1.5 million, I would have all of these things in my house on display.
Right.
Well, guess what? You don't need to win the Powerball. You can pay a couple of bucks every month, whatever it is. You can pay a couple of bucks every month. You get the parts, and you have the satisfaction of building it yourself. You can paint it up if you like, or get someone to weather it up for you. There's a bunch of these guys, these kids, who do great with the paints, right? You do the lights. You get the wall bracket. You get the nice blueprints. You get the whole thing. You get books. You get all kinds of stuff. It's like a hobby, and in 2 years, the hobby's over.
There you go.
And then if you buy yourself a green screen, well, then you can make your own little Millennium Falcon adventure movies.
It is pulled from the Empire Strikes Back model.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, it's absolutely an amazing collectible. And the fact that you can end up with this giant Millennium Falcon and you've paid a little bit for it and you had a satisfaction building it, and brilliant. It's brilliant.
So, PK, give out that phone number.
Yeah, if you want to give him a call or order that sucker up, that's going to be 877-544-6779.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
All right, we got a couple more voicemails to get through in segment two tonight. Let's go to CMonkey67 first, because that one I want to talk about real quick, and then we can move on.
Okay.
Hey, guys. CMonkey here. Frank here, CMonkey67 on Twitter. A couple weeks ago, you were asking about podcast that we listen to. I've been listening to this one podcast called Hello from the Magic Tavern. It's about a 15 minute to half an hour podcast about a guy who gets sucked into an alternate dimension where it's like a D&D fantasy realm, and he's able to send podcasts from this realm. Starts a little bit slow. The first couple episodes are, you know, just kind of laying the groundwork, but it really builds into something that's quite funny and entertaining. It's a really good listen if you guys want to check it out. It's fun.
You can cut him off. You can cut him off. Yeah, because now he's just going to talk about there's like a side story inside the story.
Yeah,
and
it's
stuff.
Great.
So
what CMonkey doesn't tell you is that Greetings from the Magic Tavern is actually part of the Gothamverse.
Oh, God, no. So not.
Wow.
So I listened to the first episode.
Oh, yeah, you
of
did?
The show today. I did. It's like 16 minutes and change.
Yeah.
And so the premise, he was spot on with his description of the premise. But what happens is a guy's at a Burger King. He gets pulled through this magical portal. He still has a weak Wi-Fi signal from the Burger King that he's able to send these podcasts back through. And he's kind of interacting with people inside this tavern and inside this fantasy world. And the first episode,
I know where this is going.
Well, it's not that. Although if it was that, you know, I'd be in already. You know, I would go through the portal to go to the Shady Dragon Inn, but it is not the Shady Dragon Inn.
It's Shady Dragon Inn, the podcast.
It is. It is. That would be amazing. So the first episode was okay. I'll give it a couple more episodes. But at 16 minutes, that's not a huge commitment, so I can give it a couple episodes to develop. I didn't hate it. It was all right. It was cute. So I'll check that out. Thank you for that, Frank. We appreciate that.
I bust Sea Monkey's chops, but yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
And on the podcast thing real quick, so the last time we brought this up, you kind of surprised me to talk about the things that I've been involved in too. So, and I brought up the whole Twilight Zone sort of thing that was going on with our friends out in Seattle,
right?
With Sci-Fi Commons. Well, I didn't have the name in my head at the time. It's called Reality's Edge.
Okay.
And it's actually being picked up again, and he's going to start producing episodes, we believe, soon. So
nice.
I'm going to keep everybody abreast of all of that. I hope to be involved again, at the very least involved in getting the word out about these guys. And hopefully that first episode that we did way back when gets into the mix. But
PK said abreast.
Good stuff. Boob.
Very cool. Very cool. So thank you to Frank. And again, if you have a podcast that you're listening to, whether it be a drama style like this one or just a podcast in general, and you want to let us know.
Wait. Like this one that
like the one he just mentioned.
Oh,
but if they want to call up and tell us about other shows that are good,
no, that's fine. No, it's just the way that you said it was like.
Sorry,
you said it was, you know, a drama like this one, which to me implied that they were listening to a drama. Which I was like, oh man, we got to up the drama factor because we definitely don't have enough.
Next week, everybody dies. So thank you for that one. Let's get to this to the next one because it'll spark a little bit of a conversation.
Okie doke.
Hey guys, Scanner 51 here with a very important question. I was at work this morning and I couldn't help but start thinking, who would win in a fight?
Uh-huh.
Affleck Daredevil, Affleck Superman,
stupid,
or Affleck Batman? All three-way match. Who wins in a fight? No holds bar. Question for you guys, question for everyone listening to the show. Have a good week, guys. Bye.
So I'm chalking this one up to
alcohol?
No, cereal poisoning.
Yeah.
That
could be
the guy who called in with all the reviews.
Yeah.
No, look, I don't hate the question. I mean, obviously there are two real answers and then a goof answer.
Goof answer?
Superman is the goof answer.
He did not play Superman, Scanner 51. He played George Reeves, who played Superman on TV. So right away he's eliminated because he's just an actor, right? So
very drunk,
and what were the other
stumbling
two?
Actor.
Daredevil versus Batman?
Yeah.
Yo, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
That's a real – and forget whether it's Affleck or not. Let's just take the premise of Daredevil versus Batman. That's tough. I don't know. I don't know. I might have to give the edge to Batman on this one because I think Batman would be –
well,
better scientifically equipped.
But see, I think we have to take the Affleck versions of both of them. Because if it was just straight up Daredevil and Batman,
yeah,
I think it would be pretty close, maybe. But I think if we're doing Batfleck versus Daredevil.
Bear Devil.
Does that work? I don't think that works.
I think I saw him at the gay pride parade.
I think you have to give it to Batfleck because he's older, more seasoned. He's
Bear
a combat
Devil.
Vet. I'm giving it to
Batman.
How
do we know? We haven't even seen Batman yet.
Because we know that it's not.
What if he's just a klutz?
We know that it's. Look, we know that it's not brand new spanky Bruce Wayne just became Batman.
How did Spanky get in this? Are we going to talk about all the little rascals or just Spanky?
We are. Buck. Forget it. I think Batfleck wins. That's my opinion.
Whatever. I lost all my concentration to Bear Devil. I'm done.
I mean, as a premise,
Daredevil.
I think at the premise, the sort of basic training of both characters is rather similar. So therefore, if we're just taking it as a question of who would win in a fight, Daredevil versus, I don't think the Affleck part of it matters.
It absolutely matters because Batfleck's Ben Affleck's Daredevil is a young, just became Daredevil character.
Uh huh.
Ben Affleck's Batman has already been Batman.
Okay.
And is already
he's got a point there.
He's
got a seasoned, hardened
belt.
Dark Knight Returns level Batman versus a guy just starting out.
If it was young Batman versus young Daredevil, it's pretty close.
Okay.
I think it would probably still go to Batman, but at least it's close. But if you take the age difference and the number of years fighting crime,
right,
you got to give it to Batfleck.
Can we end this conversation, please?
Yes.
Was there other news? I wanted to talk about the Golden Globes. Did either of you see them?
I did not. But
holy
crap. You're welcome to talk about
it. I did last night for the first time watch the uproarious laugh-a-minute comedy of the year, The Martian, because mm-hmm. the Blu-ray showed up yesterday.
Yeah, it is definitely the best comedy of the year, according to the Golden Globes.
How did that happen again?
I don't know.
It's how they submitted. I think the studio decided to submit it in a category
as a
where
goof.
They, where
no
they
pun intended.
Well, it's where they felt it had the best fit because there are a lot of laughs in
The
Martian.
I was going to say, it has comedic elements.
The
wife
and guy's trying to survive.
Yeah, it's definitely it is a drama. It is a space, a hard sci-fi space drama that happens to have, because of the nature of the personality of the character, has a lot of good laughs.
Is the category sci-fi comedy? Is that why it got lumped in there?
No.
They submitted it based on the category. They felt that the competition was too stiff in drama,
yeah,
and they weren't going to come out on top in there, so they submitted it into comedy to see what happens.
Hey, you know what?
And I still am befuddled how they fucking won.
I think we have to go back now and look at Castaway. Because I think Castaway
was
robbed.
Right?
Because comedy. If that had been in comedy, that shit was way funnier than The Martian.
There's some laughter in
Wilson?
There.
Really? Wilson?
All right.
That's not what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the cringeworthy moment between the host, Ricky Gervais, and Mel Gibson.
I missed this entire. All I saw on Twitter was like people were hoping someone was going to take a swing.
Oh my god! And you can see it in Mel's face. Ugh. Oh my god! It was this close. This close.
Mel was like this close to calling him
now,
a
was this staged?
It got serious.
Is this like staged awkward? Or do we think Mel
was
about to go mad?
No.
This was Ricky taking shots.
Ricky Gervais came out and said, well, this is going to be really awkward. And he kind of like really set it up like it was going to be cool. And then he totally threw Mel Gibson under the bus. Mel Gibson comes out and he says some stuff. Gervais comes back out. You're wondering if something's going to happen.
Boy.
Oh, man. And by the way,
that's got to be on YouTube, yeah?
Mel, it is, yeah. Right. I'm sure it is. Mel was just out there, ironically, to introduce Mad Max Fury Road as one of the best pictures of the year.
By the way, the thing that also got a lovely uproar on Twitter about that is he made the comment about how Mad Max has been wandering through the desert for the last 40 years. And I'm not a big religion sort of Bible person, so I didn't – I'm like something – 40 years in the desert. There's something really familiar about that.
Someone did that, right?
Yeah, and that's apparently that's kind of like the big Jewish story is the whole 40 years in the desert thing.
Oops.
And I don't think that's Mel Gibson's thing so much as I think the writers were like, we're going to have a whole lot of fun with Gibson checking this shit out about Mad Max.
It was a really I liked it. I thought it was a really good show. I always like the Golden Globes. It's a little more loose than the Oscars. And so, you know, there's a lot more laughter and stuff.
Everybody's drunk.
Stallone won,
yep.
Which was really great.
And I heard well-deserved,
and
too.
He is a mumbling idiot.
Well.
But that said, the guy's like 78 years old, and he's like on so much HGH at this point that like it's hard to tell.
Allegedly.
It's hard to tell. No, it's not allegedly. He's open about
it. Oh, he is open about
it? It's hard to tell where he begins and the cartoon of him ends. Like, it's really difficult at this point. That said, you're right. It was really well deserved. I'm trying to think. There were
Leonardo
a couple of
DiCaprio,
moments.
Lady Gaga. That.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, that
and
was
the look that he gave her. That was kind of funny. I saw that meme 1,000 times.
And there was somebody else won and went up there and just was like, "Hey, Harrison Ford." I don't remember who it was, but it was really funny because Harrison Ford was right in the front.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's the new Jack Nicholson. Mm. So that happened. So that was great. Overall, I thought it was a great opener to the award season. I'm glad they brought Ricky Gervais back because I love the fact that he cuts on everybody and just doesn't give a shit. Then he cuts on the whole room. But, you know, like when he says, all of you, terrible. All of you. You know, like he's – and I'm one of them. And he says that. And I'm one of them. Like I really like
Ricky Gervais.
I do too. I'm glad. No, this is no slight to Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. It's really not a slight to them. But I really prefer Ricky Gervais over the two of them. As far as
I think he embodies I think the event is obnoxious overall.
Right.
I'm not a Golden Globes fan, but that's another discussion for another podcast, really. But I think he represents the obnoxiousness of the event much better than the other two. And they're great.
Very funny.
Let him host, you know, give him a shot at the Oscars, the two of them together. That'd be great. Which is a bit of a more classy event, I would think. But yeah, Golden Globes are just fucking obnoxious. So Ricky Gervais is
perfect
to just flip the bird at everything.
Yeah. And he comes out every single time he comes out with a beer.
Yeah.
Like, and that's great. I mean, I think it's a lot of fun. So yeah, I just wanted to talk about that.
No,
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of any genre films of note won anything. I'm sure they did.
I don't think so.
Well, The Revenant won a lot. It's not really a genre film per se, but I hear it's amazing. So there's that.
Mad Max walk away with anything good?
I don't know that they did. I don't remember, honestly.
Yeah. Golden Globes. Look for the clips online. They're all over the YouTubes.
Yeah. Oh, Poe Dameron won.
Oh, that's right.
Not for Poe Dameron, though. He won for that, I think, for that HBO thing that he did.
The Most Violent Year? Whatever it's called.
He won for something.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Very cool.
So his paycheck just went up for episode 8.
Nice.
So there you go. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything else?
I don't know. Was there any other news?
Well, the only other thing I wanted to throw out there was...
The Infinity War thing.
Yeah, there's going to be 67 characters in it.
Uh-huh.
And people have started making...
The list?
Their lists.
Well, so if we're talking about heroes and villains, that's not a hard list. Just current. I mean,
just take
current.
Everyone that's been in a Marvel Cinematic Universe film since the first
Winter
Iron
Soldier.
Man.
67
stick them in there.
67 is a lot of people. That's
yes, it's a lot of people. But I don't think it's unreasonably large, number one. And I think if you counted off all the people, we know who's going to be.
Like, I think Heimdall's going to be in there. That's one. And he's like a
really?
Free character.
I thought he said never again.
I don't know. He might be contracted, though.
Okay.
I don't know.
But that's what I mean. You have him. You have, like, Odin. You have, like, I mean, if all the sort of supplemental or supporting characters in those films kind of show up in this film, 67 is not a hard number to reach.
No. And then you have...
If it's 67 just heroes, that would be different.
And don't forget, you have other... You have new movies coming before there, too. You have the Inhumans movie and what that brings to the table.
Inhumans is after
Inhumans
that.
Inhumans is after.
Not after Infinity War.
It is. It's 2020.
And Humans is way late in the lineup. Yeah. We've got Civil War, Doctor Strange, and then...
but Infinity War is split up
Black
into
Panther,
two parts.
I think, is before
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok
into
before
two
then,
points.
Yeah.
Doesn't Inhumans fall between the two?
Mm-mm, I thought Inhumans was after Infinity War. Phase 4.
All right.
With Black Panther, that got pushed because Spider-Man is actually going to be in there somewhere.
Right.
So that got, I thought that got shuffled around.
With that being said, you also have Spider-Man characters that could make appearances.
Well, they
made
moved the black character to the back of the line.
Well,
if you know what I'm saying, my brother.
All right, I think that's it. I think we could probably call this one a wrap, unless you guys have something else. Oh, do you have the date?
I'm trying to dig up.
He's looking up the line.
Okay, so Avengers Age of Ultron, then Age of Daredevil, then Ant-Man, then Civil War, then Doctor Strange, then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, then Thor Ragnarok, then Black Panther, then Infinity War Part 1, then Captain Marvel, then The Inhumans, and then Infinity War Part 2.
Oh, it is that's a schedule adjustment then, because they had pushed Black Panther after they acquired Spider-Man.
But I remember there were things that fell in between the two Infinity War movies.
I didn't think there wasn't. I just didn't think that was one of them.
Yeah, Inhumans and Captain Marvel. Yeah, because you know what? To be honest with you, end of Infinity War Part 2, I mean...
Captain Marvel will be important in that.
And that will be... That could theoretically be the end. Or at least it would usher in a whole new generation
of
at
the
that
Marvel
point.
Universe.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the big get. So
we're supposed to be more dramatic.
Yeah. Well,
wait.
See what
what's that? I think I hear an old style.
Yeah, I think that might be my phone.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and all the ship should see.
All right, you actually made me go so far as to try and dig up release dates. That's what I'm trying to fight for right now.
Nah, don't kill yourself.
It's fine. No one cares. We're all going to be dead by then anyway.
I think we should
President
start.
Trump's going to get us bombed.
Oh, wait. Here we
go. All right.
All right. So Civil War 2016. Yes. Doctor Strange November of 2016.
Yes.
Guardians in May. Untitled Spider-Man film.
Right.
In 2017.
Spider-Man again, I believe. Is
Ragnarok November 17. Black Panther February 18. Infinity War is May of 18. Then Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yep.
Ant-Man July and the 6, Wasp 2018. Is Ant-Man 2.
Then Captain Marvel in 2019, and then May 3rd,
2019. Are they spelling it like Captain Crunch?
Captain Marvel. And then Avengers Infinity War Part 2 is after that, and then Inhumans in July of 2019. So Inhumans will kick off what, Phase 4?
Yeah. Okay. So what I thought was happening there was so I got two of them backwards. I got Black Panther and Inhumans backwards.
Okay, but that being said, they could still introduce characters from Inhumans in Infinity War Part 2.
Yes, and then it's called S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., in all seriousness, no joke, no kidding aside, I think I'm done. I think I'm done.
I have never been angrier at that show than the mid-season finale that just happened.
Yep, I will watch.
What was the problem that you
both had? My problem is the show should have ended before they came back for that stinger, that bullshit horseshit stinger that came back. And I'll blanket it now and say spoiler alert. Have you seen? Are you caught up, Kev?
Yeah.
Okay. Coulson giving that look afterwards, and then we cut to commercial. That should have been the motherfucking end of the show.
Absolutely.
And the fact that they brought that
asshole,
inane, done with, boring character back in a zombie, predictable, asinine,
fuck that show,
bullshit thing back. I was livid and almost gave up. And I've been giving more of a shot than you, OG, for S.H.I.E.L.D.
I've been hating on Ward, but I've been sticking through it.
Right.
I've been enjoying it.
And I've been plowing through and enjoying, despite the problems that I, too, have with the character of Ward. And I almost said, you know what, I'm done, but I would be breaking my own rule, the whole three-episode rule, where, you know,
Ward,
when you're on the outs, you got three episodes to win my ass back. And if they don't come back and do something monumental to fucking crush this character, what kind of contract does Brett Dalton have on
this fucking show?
This is what I'm doing.
What do you think? Ward, Deathlock 2.
Fuck. This is what I'm doing. I'm not going to watch it when it comes back. I'm going to let it just build up on my DVR. And seriously,
and see what happens.
I am going to monitor fan reaction.
Yep.
Because I will know exactly. I will know exactly whether
or
not that motherfucker survives the season.
Now,
and if he does, I'm out.
I don't know anything speculation wise, but this world that they have traveled to in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Uh-huh.
Wow, we got a hell of a sidetrack here, but I'm psyched because I'm trying to. What the fuck world is that? Do we have any insight? Do we know if this is potentially the introduction of another outworldly character that's going to find its way into fucking Infinity War or something like that?
No idea where it's going.
Mm.
No I care idea. More about
and
AD
so help
Carter
me God if it's fucking Ward,
yeah,
finding his way in the cinematic universe off of this planet.
No, I care about is Agent Carter is back next week. That's all I care about.
Yes,
that's it.
Yep,
that's it.
Great show.
I'm done with
wait.
Shield. I'm at least for a bit
for now.
Until in the very first episode, this zombie Ward character is also a time traveler that she runs into at the end. That's the sting of the first episode.
She just
shoots him in the head.
I'm sorry,
and that would be wonderful.
As soon as Coulson goes through the portal,
I'll take that apology.
As soon as Coulson goes through the portal and he has Ward there with a gun to his head and he's unarmed, there is no reason why Coulson should have not immediately shot him. The only reason he went there was
dramatics.
To kill him.
Dramatics and so on and so forth.
Dramatics from the last three seasons.
Then listen. I justify him not killing him in the spot because he's got to find. We got to find Fitz. You know, and he's got to find his way back. So, he's specifically here to kill him, but he's got to get other stuff done if he wants to get the fuck back home. Again, that ending and that farewell and Coulson getting his final say with that little, you know, the
mush.
The very overzealous CPR.
Yeah.
And the end, like, that was the perfect ending. It was Coulson basically just crushing him down, saying, fuck you and fuck everything you've done since the start of this show. Fuck you, you're dead. And that was great. And then he came back, and it certainly did something, and it darkened Coulson even further, who has a darkness coming out of him over the course of this season. It's been very, very interesting and a wild arc. And they took a fucking flaming shit all over it by simply coming back from commercial with that nonsense.
I'm so mad at that show.
And I almost backed it. We watched it on the ABC app, on the Apple TV. And I almost backed out of it after Coulson Strikes. I'm like, I don't need to watch the credits. And I just let it play.
Yeah.
And I would have been happier if I just backed out of it and never knew that shit existed.
Yeah. And you get very disappointed. All angry when it comes back.
We gotta legit start to wrap it up. Because, I never know if it's going to actually
But
last.
We're having too much fun.
There's no doubt. But you know what?
We're all here. We were all on time. And it's just nice.
Let's make it to 400. That's what I'm saying. Let's actually last two more episodes. That's all I'm saying.
I think we can do it.
I don't know. It's like Band-Aids.
Come on, Rock. Buckle up. You can do it, Rock.
Do you understand how many times I've had to cut the eye of this computer?
Cut me. Cut the eye.
More times than I could count. All right, I'm running out of razors. It's gotten that bad.
Wow.
Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at bkgeekstuff.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/bkgeekstuff. On Twitter, at geekstuffog, at bkgeekstuff, and at K. Robert Marlowe?
No, at K.R. Marlowe.
K.R. Marlowe. I'm so sorry. K.R. Marlowe.
It's K. Robert Marlowe's on the Instagram.
On the Instagram. And then, of course, I'm geekstuffog on Instagram. And I'm not even giving out Big Kev's Instagram.
Hey, well, I have Instagram.
Big Kev, yes, I think it is. So check us out in all those venues. Please continue to call us at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And we'll be, I think that's it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's it.
And we'll be back next week. And with that, OG, we will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff the way we end some episodes, by saying, good night, David Bowie. Wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music. Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on. Check ignition,
1.
And may God's love be with you.